In the sports talk radio justice world, mediocre quarterback play and porous tackling are considered especially heinous. On the Lance J Show, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad at Paragon 7 Studios. These are their stories.
So for 2020, during lockdown, I discovered blood on my chest, and it turned out like a year later that I had breast cancer. So then I underwent treatment that year, and then for the rest of that year, I kept having surgery so they could reconstruct it, et cetera, et cetera. It affected what I could bring to the table as far as finances, and it also affected my singing. Like, I could only sing for about 20 seconds, so I did think, oh my gosh, is this going to be permanent? Because they did a deep flap surgery, and that cuts into your stomach, but my vein that they were looking for, everyone apparently has this big thick vein in their stomach that mimics the one that comes out of your heart. I didn't have that, so they ended up just thinking on the fly and cut me above the belly button, which means that I was like basically in half, and then my intestines, including my lungs and everything, couldn't expand. So I basically made myself do all of my vocal exercises every single day, no matter if it hurt or not, because that's my, I'd imagine that a basketball player or somebody who has a twisted ankle would tape it up and then do safe circular exercises to get that back. Well, that's the same thing that I did with my waist and my stomach. So that I was able to get that back sooner rather than later. That's the one thing that I did get back, aside from all of the other side effects and stuff. But I got my singing back after about 6 months.
So I wasn't expecting you to share your experience. I know that that's private. So I appreciate you sharing. I actually do a healthcare series.
It's because it's October.
So this is great for the HealthCast as well.
October kind is of breast cancer.
How did you end up deciding, because you're a young woman, how did you end up deciding to, you know, you saw something that wasn't right, you felt something that wasn't right. What made you at a young age go in and get a mammography? Because in my day job, I spend a lot of time and energy. I actually have managed the programs that allow and enable people to get mammographies. And I've seen so many lives saved by early detection. And we're kind of going off on a healthcare tangent, which is fine for me. But getting a mammography is so important. Even if you're young, even if I know you personally, I know that you don't eat meat. You have a very specified diet. You're a musician, so you're very careful what you put into your body. You're very careful of how you manage your voice. So you're not out there. You're not at Starbucks, and you're not at McDonald's.
Definitely not.
That's not your lifestyle. What pushed you to actually go get the mammography?
I woke up to blood in my bed, and I thought that it was possibly coming out of my brain, just because one of my school friends had like a headache, and then she was passed away like the next day, and they said she had an aneurysm. So I was like, is it a slow leak in my brain? It was like I never went to school. I just could not understand where it was coming from. Eventually, I found out it was coming from my chest, and while we were on lockdown, I had to wait. So what I did do, combine the things that I love, while I was waiting, I started TikTok. And my TikTok account was to help me. And it turned out to, like, draw me to so many other people. So many other, the girl who sent in my CD, we had a storm, we had a hurricane. So all the things were down, and I really needed a CD image sent overseas to Boston. And none of the equipment worked, but this girl who I knew from TikTok recognized my voice on the phone, and she went home, ran off the CD. Who has a CD burner in 2020?
Right.
To 2021. She ran off a CD at her home, gave it to me. She has since passed. She had like a terminal illness, and she has since passed, but she was one of the angels who saved me.
Okay.
And that was through TikTok. Like, when I say social media saved my life, I know it always gets a bad rap, and there's horrible things that you can find there, no problem, but social media saved my life.
Wow.
TikTok was 190 days straight of whatever song came up on that screen when I opened up YouTube. Even if I didn't know it, I listened to it. And then I picked 1 minute section that I liked, and for myself, since we, you know, we're isolated.
There's nothing else to do.
Right? I gave myself this thing, like, you're not allowed to edit it. You're not allowed to, like, do it over. So I post one takes.
Right.
Right?
You kind of had your own personal karaoke.
Yeah.
Going on. You were doing covers. So kind of to backtrack. So if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Joy T. Barnum. She is a musician hailing from Bermuda. And one of the most popular people on the island of Bermuda, and a Bermuda Idol finalist, and has toured all over the world singing. She's talking about her experience with breast cancer. So let's go a little bit further. When you went and finally got checked out, what stage were you in?
Fortunately, it was stage one, but that's crazy because it was a whole year. So I went a whole year going to get tests, but because my cancers were very tiny. They didn't get picked up. They didn't get picked up on the mammogram. They didn't get picked up on the ultrasound. I was too young to have had a mammogram before,
right.
So I didn't have like a starting point, you know, like a control or anything like that. I didn't have that. So when I did eventually, after posting on social media a year later, my grandmother called me and she was like, "What are we gonna do about this blood?" And I'm like, you know, I've been calling. I haven't gotten through anybody. And my grandmother was like, "Well, how much is it going to cost?" I'm like, "It costs $800 just for them to read the disc." Mm-hmm. And so she was like, "Okay." And then you need a hotel and you need this and you need that. I'm like, "Yeah." So it's going to be like $3,000. And now, keep in mind, I'm a musician. Music's not happening then. And my grandmother just said, $3,000, that's it. Come down and get it. And that's when in my mind I went, yeah, Joy, you're going to let pride kill you. You're going to take your grandmother's pension money. Like, just get on social media and tell people what's going on with you. And as soon as I did that, everything happened.
Well, I mean, I've met your grandmother on multiple occasions. She would definitely want you to be
yes.
alive and well. So go a little bit further. Mm-hmm. Once you identified the issue, mm-hmm. what is it? What is the healthcare system like in Bermuda versus the United States? I mean, I know that Joy said before we started broadcast, she said, "I'm not going to talk politics. I'm not going to talk politics. I don't want to get into all of that." I have texts from Joy over the years that start with the word MF-er, and I'm not going to say who she's referring to. Could be both sides. But I digress. How is the healthcare system in Bermuda? So what is it like for someone? Because I would assume, this is my assumption, I would assume that there's probably one or two major hospitals in Bermuda because there are only 70,000 people in Bermuda or somewhere around
66,
there.
66, yep.
And I would assume that a lot of people from Bermuda are flying somewhere on the East Coast to Boston or to New York City or to Baltimore or to D.C. to get treatment.
Everyone is.
Okay.
I liken it to like having a Nokia
cell phone.
1998.
Right. So you got the analog, you got the
that's what I'm, you know, and
I'm the orange screen.
I'm an analog girl, right. But that's what I liken it to. It's the best thing I can come up with because Bermuda is such a tiny place. In order for us to get machines and that kind of thing, you know, we had to save up for it. So we got this fancy machine, but one, nobody there knows how to read the imaging that comes off of it,
sure.
And two, that machine is obsolete, and we're still paying off of it. So it's not that it is a complete negligence of our health and that we don't care. It's that we're such a tiny nation that the health services would be better spent on getting people to be able to read the things that are there, but that's not the job that's available at the hospital. Like, it's a niche thing, obviously. It's a very niche thing to be able to read imaging and that kind of stuff.
So you did your treatment in the States?
I did my treatment in the States. Okay. I did my testing in the States. In my testing in Bermuda, I came up flying colors. I aced every test.
Because I remember you calling me several years ago from a New Hampshire number. And I was I was like, "Who the hell is calling me from New Hampshire? I don't know anybody."
And I was like, "I'm just going to keep on calling."
I thought that you were a bill collector. I mean, this is COVID. We're on a lockdown. I'm thinking this is some type of government roundup, the FEMA camp, something.
I had
taxes,
to get an emergency
something.
Passport because my passports had expired. My Bermuda passport expired, and people were sending away people from, you know, we were trying to, I don't know if it's the same as in the States, but in Bermuda, our government was actively saying, "Oh, where do we have locals? Oh, they're in the UK.
Right.
We're going to have them fly back home."
Right.
And that kind of thing.
You want to keep everyone
there.
Yeah,
you want to keep everybody.
You don't want COVID. I mean, we handled COVID very poorly in the United States. And you know, and I've talked on this show a lot, I lost my mother to COVID, which was completely life-changing.
For me, completely
changed my perspective on health, of the world and of healthcare. And as being a healthcare executive, someone that manages, you know, when you're, it's different when you're sitting up here on the 20th floor and you have a consulting business, or I've spent many years working within the Blue Cross system. And when you're looking at it from the executive boardroom, sitting next to a bunch of people with suits, it's much different than when you have the PPE equipment on and you're there holding your mother's hand while she's on the ventilator. That's a completely different discussion. What we're going to do, because this is a very compelling talk, we're going to cut to a break, and we're going to come back with more of Joy. She's going to talk, because I want to hear about the healing. So we talked about,
we're gonna talk about
how
it.
Things went
we
left.
We just get that, we
but
get
then
that out of the way.
That's not where you are now,
no,
obviously.
My gosh, I'm so happy.
So it's great to see you. You look very healthy. You look very whole. I see the energy that you're putting out on social media. So we're going to talk about, we talked about the dark side. We're going to talk about the upside after these messages.
You are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
Paragon 7.
Studios. Lewis.
What is your honest perception of just a circus? I don't care about your politics and who you're going to vote for, but just what's your perception of just all of this political theater?
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
We're so screwed.
We're doomed.
We're so screwed. Like,
you are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
They're here. McDonald's best burgers ever. They're hotter, with the cheese deliciously melted. And they're juicier, with the patties cooked to juicy perfection. Yes, they're tastier with a pillowy, soft, golden bun. They're...
Rubble, rubble.
Looks like we've been hamburgled. These are our best burgers ever.
Rubble, rubble.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I love my kids, but I also love not being broke. So this back-to-school season, I'm just gonna spend less on them. Amazon has low prices on everything kids need. Like a water bottle they definitely won't lose.
Mm-mm.
Tablets, because how else are parents supposed to take a break from their kids that are always around? Sports stuff, for whatever sport this is. All the latest lit, Rizzy Riz clothes. No cap. What is cap? And lunch boxes for a homemade meal that they'll barely touch.
Quest? What the fudge?
So spend less on your favorite little freeloaders with Amazon. Because every dollar you don't spend on them is a dollar you haven't spent on them.
When you need a partner committed to your vision, agents who are realtors are here for it. Here with market expertise that makes a difference. Here for it all. Because that's who we are.